Oh, you clap. You clap on Hashanahs.
Make sure you clap. And if anyone gets between you and the Hashanah, fair territory.
Okay, let's talk about Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah is the last day, it's Chol HaMoed, it's the sixth day of Chol HaMoed. Hashanah Rabbah really is, in the Torah, is nothing more than Chol HaMoed. It is the sixth day of Chol HaMoed of Sukkot. Okay, we have a Mesorah. Now, we have a Mesorah that Hashanah Rabbah is the Kvittel. What is the Kvittel? I don't even know what does it mean. It means like a little piece of paper. A piece of paper where you write down something on it. It represents the chasima, the seal of the chasima, which means that even though there are many breakpoints in the Yom Hadin, this Rosh Hashanah, right away the Sifrei, anyone that is a Tzadik Gomer is right immediately written for life. Anyone Rachman al Hashanah is a Rosh, immediately the other way around, and everyone else is a Beinoni. Uviyom tzom kipudim yechosei mun. But the wax is still wet. How long is it wet for? For four more days, until ulakachtem lechem b'yom harishon. Rishon lechesh b'yom avon. It's just because of yom tzom kipudim yechosei mun, it is sealed. If you ever had the pleasure of experimenting with a wax seal, I once had the pleasure. I did a project for someone years ago, and we had wax seals. There was a company in California. A company in California that makes, you give them a design on the computer, you send them and they take a piece, they make for you a signet with that image. And then you buy a glue gun, a special gun, like a wax gun, and
you buy a wax.
And the wax, it comes in 100 colors, these little wax round things that you stick into the gun and it melts it and you squeeze it and the wax comes out. You put on an invitation, and then you take your signet, and you press down, and it makes a beautiful impression. So it was very interesting.
You can't open it on Shabbos.
Right, it's glued. It's basically glued. Once you open it, it's a sign that it was open. It cannot be revealed. You're going to rip the piece of paper also, right?
You can rip, but they can't rip the text.
Okay, that's another problem. But the main thing of the signet, the main thing is that once the seal is broken, that it can't be repaired. That is an indication that this letter was opened. So we ordered this thing from this, we did a lot of research online to find who makes these things. We finally found someone. And then the guy says to me, you're from Brooklyn? We have one other customer in Brooklyn. Only one other customer. It's a Canadian company. They do this all over the world. They make these beautiful signet, custom-made, signet rings. They said we only one. The company is called, you ever hear of them? They're called Art Scroll. I said, of course I know who Art Scroll is. Like, it was a big novel. You ever hear this company called Art Scroll? They're also in Brooklyn. And we do work for them. Wow, look at that. We were machaven to Art Scroll. Okay, so when you do this, when you do the signet ring, it melts. Now today, obviously, it's different. Today, it's not the way they did in those days. But it takes time for the wax to harden. So in between Yom HaKippurim and the first day of Sukkot, it's not yet dry. Thus, b'shas hadchak, if you want a chaperayin, you can still chaperayin and make some changes, and still you're still safe. You still have an opportunity. Once you get past the first day of Sukkot, the wax is already dry. But not totally dry. You can't be an amateur. If you're an expert, then you're able to still open up the wax, still do it, and chaperayin. Once you get past Hashanah Rabbah, the wax has dried to such a degree, but basically it's too late. So that's just a mushroom. There are different madregos of madregos. Hashanah Rabbah is the Gemara. Now what do we do in Hashanah Rabbah? Now this is called the machlokes in the Gemara. Is it a minog neviim or is it? Well, let's go back. Really, all 7 days. Let's clarify this point. It's very important to clarify this one. For the all 7 days of Sukkot in the Beis Hamikdash, they would take arovos, and they would. The question: what they did exactly? They would walk around. Does it mean they would actually walk around the mizbeach holding only arovos? not lulavim, just walking around the mizbech with aravos, or does it mean they took aravos and they stood it up against the wall of the mizbech? Some maybe will tell you elu v'il diri elokim chaim is that all 7 days of Sukkos they would walk around the mizbeach holding in their hands aravos, and it would appear the aravos were gigantic. If the mizbeach is 10 amos tall, so that means that the aravos were between 15 and 20 feet. Okay, 15 and 20 feet is about a two-story building. Could you imagine coming into shul holding in your hands aravos that are 20 feet tall? Do they even grow so tall? Okay, so they do actually do grow that. They do grow that tall. You actually can find aravos that grow that tall. Now, many, many years ago, they don't do this anymore in Chaim Berlin. People would bring in these massive, massively large aravos. You walk in there during Hashanah Rabbah, you would think you're in a forest. When it came to Tale Amunim, it was like Mamash, you really would think you're in a forest. Those days are long over. They don't do that anymore. I don't know, just things petered out. They don't do that. People today, it's just everyone has a regular, like what the kids sell on the street, nothing special anymore. But I remember those were beautiful days. It was a very nice time. Everyone was young and healthy and alive and vibrant, and people were very optimistic. It was a different world. Before 9/11, people didn't think so much. It was a very different world, and very fond memories of those days. And in Chaim Berlin, on Hashanah Rabbah, I'm telling you, it was just magnificent. I never saw something like this, and I probably never will. It was a magnificent. Over the years, everything became very.
Like a Kaisel, I think you could say.
The Kaisel is different. The Kaisel is a whole different type of thing. I'm not in the Kaisel, I can't tell you. When I went to the Kaisel, it's a free for all there. It's a big, big mishmash. It's this mamsh chaos. It's a chaotic. Yeah. It's the one most what?
It's the most crowded day.
Crowded, they said this year, Erev Yom Kippur. They said Erev Yom Kippur was a record. They never had so many people Erev Yom Kippur. Look at the videos, Birchas Kohanim, look at the videos. The from beginning to end, the place is jam-packed. I mean, I'm not familiar. I'm not there. When I was there to show, you go to the Kaisel, then I just decide just to sit and relax. I don't know if you're allowed to do that. Maybe you're not allowed to do that by the Kaisel. I just sat and relaxed and I watched. I watched for 15 minutes. What I saw go on in 15 minutes to make your head spin. Okay, people, there was a soccer team from some country I never heard of who came in with scarves, they had these scarves, and they started dancing and doing all these crazy things. 2 minutes later, a politician from a country you never heard of walked in with a security detail and a camera crew, and he put on, his yam, and he goes to the Kosel, and he puts his hand on the Kosel. The whole thing was a show. A show to show, he came to Israel, he came to the Western Wall, and then another Meshugas happened. It was comical, very entertaining, very, just to sit to try it once.
It's a show.
Just sit there.
Just
sit there and watch. Just watch for 15 minutes and try to even write down all of the strange things. Not just strange, all of the things that go on there. So you go daven there, it's extremely distracting to really concentrate. Extremely distracting, too much going on. Oh, then I was there, how many times was I there when there was a bomb threat? Almost every time I go there, bomb threat. Chefetz Chashut. Get into the cave.
Yeah.
Get into the cave, happened to me probably a few times. Because I'm there.
Yeah.
Because me, I don't know, my sister refuses to travel with me anymore on the plane because every single time we come to a security checkpoint, they take me away. I'm on a list. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. I am on a terrorist watch list. I'm not joking. I'm telling you every point
of
the way.
Because of you. Because of the guys in
your
shir.
You look like a terrorist.
Because guys in the shir, I'm telling you. And the guy, the spookiest thing is they put my hand baggage, like everyone else, you go through the TSA, they put it through there, and who was doing the TSA machine? It looked to me like a Haredi. He had all of the trappings of a Haredi. No, an intelligent, he looked like an older person wearing a yarmulke. He looked like the real deal. Maybe not, I don't know. And I come there, I put down my bag, and he puts it in the machine, and then he looks at me. And he looks at my bag. and he takes the baker to the computer and back and forth, like much, much longer than anyone else there. And every time he goes back and forth, he looks up at me. He stares at me, he stares me down. What is going on? Obviously, they have obviously every person that goes through, they know who you are. They have some type of flag that says, this guy interrogates. Watch out. There's something suspicious about it. What did I do? I'm telling you, I don't know what I did. I have no idea what I did. My sister, she's embarrassed for me. So she doesn't want to go with me anymore because I'm always, I don't know what I did.
You don't have to feel bad.
Chotasi, yeah. For what?
Touchdown, you know, they patted her down, pulled her out of the line.
Why?
I don't know, because they said they had
a random. Nothing in Israel is random. In America, the Shemazels is random, not in Israel. In Israel, there's nothing random. They know what they're doing there. They do profiling inside out. All right, that's not our topic. We're getting over here, getting over here to Hashanah Rabbah, they would walk around the Mizbech, they would take these Aravos, and they would surround the Mizbech. Now this is very important, you saw it. This is new style, new chiddush. They did this every single day of Sukkot, 7 days. They would walk. This is either what's called a Yesoid Hanavim or Minog Nevim. The Gemara is a machlokes in the Gemara. Is this called a Yesoid or is it called a Minog of the Nevim? And what does that mean exactly? I don't know. Where does it fall on the scale? There's a Deraisa, there's a Derabanan, there's something called Divrei Kabbalah, which is higher than a Derabanan. Then there are Minhagim. There are different levels, different types of Minhagim. This is in a class by itself. Something that was established by the prophets. And there's a Machlokes in the Gemara. Is it just a custom or is it a Yesoid? If it's a custom, it means that it carries less weight. If it's a Yesoid, it has a connotation that it's more significant. What is a nafkamina? I'm not sure, but one nafkamina the Gemara appears to say is, do you make a bracha? That when you take the arava and you bang it and you do whatever you do with the arava on Hashanah Rabbah, why don't we make a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem kedem elcholam asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'sivanu al chibut ho arava. You've never heard someone do this. So if you learn that it's called the Yesoid of the Nevi'im, it's a foundational enactment. It should be no less than a mitzvah derabanan, and we should make a brach, asher kiddushan b'mitzvah sevet tzivanu, al chibot ha'arava. So even, that's not so simple either, because let's go back, it's very important. What exactly did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Pashtusos, in the Beis HaMikdash, they would walk around the Mizbeach every single day of Sukkot, it's not with the Dalet meaning, but with an Arava. How many Aravas? It doesn't say how many Aravas. And it sounds like one Arava. Now, like we will have five. They walk around the Mizbeach with one Arava. And then when it was over, they would take the Arava and they would lean it against the wall of the Mizbeach. And they would say, Yoifi l'cha Mizbeach. This is the beauty, you are beautiful, the Mizbeach is beautiful. And the Mizbech, it would appear, would be completely surrounded, hidden with Aravos. This is very interesting to me, because today if you see some of the pictures, I think, Mayor, you sent a picture. You sent a really beautiful picture of someone. So the beauty of that picture was the Hadassim. Okay, this is really found by Chabad. Chabad, they don't take three Hadassim. They take, is there a set number?
I don't know.
There could be there is a set number, but they take an enormous amount of Hadassim. They take an enormous amount, and this picture you sent on the chat, it showed a lulav that was really decorated from top to bottom in a very unique, artistic way with hadassim. Looks like there must have been at least 20, 30 hadassim, even more maybe. So aravas? No, only two aravas, but multiple hadassim. So almost the whole lulav was basically sheltered, was covered with hadassim. It's interesting that in the Mizbeach, was completely hidden and sheltered with aravos. And they would say to the Mizbech, Yoifi l'cha, this is your beauty. So the lulav, you beautify with hadassim. The Mizbeach, you beautify with aravos. Haloi davar. Okay, the lulav is beautified with hadassim according by certain people. I don't know who, Lubavitch, yes. Lubavitch, they're very into this. Obviously, it looks like a breslova. Was that a breslova, the one that you sent me? Look, he has the trappings of a breslova, that one. That's what they do also. They have a lot of aravas, a lot of hadasim. I don't know, whatever. And all, you can barely see the lulav. The lulav basically is concealed. And what is concealing the lulav? The beauty of the hadasim. The mizbeach was concealed with aravas. Now, this was done every single day. Question, what happens on Shabbos? Let's say it's Yom Tov and Shabbos, or let's say it's Chol HaMoed and Shabbos. Did they also surround the Mizbech with Aravas? No, they did not. Why? I guess maybe Shema Yavirim Dal Ramas Birshu Sarabim. Maybe since people are, who's putting these Aravas? Not the Kohanim, anyone who wants. It seems that the Beis HaMikdash to a degree was open to the public. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe. Yeah, on a regular day you couldn't walk in. But Erev Pesach, it appears from the Gemara that you had free access. Everyone brought their karm. The whole Klal Yisrael came to the Beis HaMikdash to bring. There were three groups. Every single member of Klal Yisrael, they walked into the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. I don't even, if there was a shortage of Kohanim, Yisraelim did Shechita on Erev Pesach. It seems like on Sukkot, it says they would call on, they did this Chamayim, and there was a Tzedaki who did this Chamayim. Everyone took their Esreg and they threw the Esreg at the Tzedaki. Who's everyone? It sounds like they were regular Yisraelim. What were they doing there? It seems that there were times of the year when any Yisrael was permitted to come into the Azara. I don't know, is that true or not? No one goes into the Heichal, that's for sure. But in the Azara during the year, they only go up to 11 Amos, the Ezras Yisrael, and the rest was off limits. Maybe unless you bring a carbon, I don't know. Whatever the case is. So the reason why, when it was Shabbos Yom Tov or Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot, they did not do this takonas, this yisoid neviim, or this minog neviim. They did not bring the aravos to the Beis HaMikdash and surround the mizbech with the aravos. It was not done on Shabbos Yom Tov or Shabbos Chol HaMoed. There is one exception, the seventh day. It's very important, explains a lot of things. This yisoid explains a lot of things about what we do. The only day when they put the arav against the mizbeach, they surrounded the mizbeach with aravas, they walked around the mizbeach, and then they put the arav against the mizbeach, even if it was Shabbos, even Shabbos, was Yom HaShavi'i. Now again, today it's impossible, according to our calendar, for Hoshana Rabba to fall out on Shabbos. Okay, it is impossible. The calendar is structured in such a way, Loy Adu Rosh. Okay, Loy Adu Rosh, it is impossible. That's what Rosh means, Rosh Hashanah. It cannot fall out on an Aleph, on a Wednesday, and on a Friday. So when you make that calculation, it cannot fall out on those days. There's no way it can happen today that Hoshana Rabba will ever be on a Shabbos. But Bizman, Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, then it can happen that Hoshana Rabba falls out on Shabbos. What did they do? It didn't matter. This was built in to the system, built into the takana of the Nevi'im or the minig of the Nevi'im. They would come on Shabbos, Hoshana Rabba, and they would bring their aravos, they would walk around the Mizbeach, and they would erect it up against the wall of the Mizbeach. Therefore, Bizman HaZeh, when we no longer have a mikdash, we no longer have a mizbeach where we can reenact this. And we don't have Nevi'im. Well, once they did it, so we do it. But once already, Bizman hazeh, when we don't go today, so we do today basically zecher le mikdash. This was a takana or a yisoid of the Nevi'im. Bizman shabes hamikdash hayakayim. Bizman hazeh. What we are really doing is Zecher LeMikdash. And because it's only a Zecher LeMikdash, we do not do this every single day. What do you mean, what's the Zecher? We make believe that the Bima, or the Shulchan, whatever you want to call it, the Bima or the Shulchan is the Mizbeach. We view the Bima as the, and when we walk around it, we should walk around the Bima, and then we should take our ravas and put it against the bima. Okay, we don't do that. We don't do that. What do we do? What do we do? What we do is we take the arava and we hold it in our hands, and we do chibut. So this already appears to be more Kabbalistic, which is not, it's very hard to really define how what we do bizman hazeh is a zecher for what they did bizman shabbes hamigdash hayakayim. It does not appear to be any remez that bizman shabbes hamigdash hayakayim, they took their rava and they beat it on the ground. Doesn't say that anywhere. They did one of two things, or maybe both. They made hakafos around the mizbeach, and then they took the arava and they leaned it against the mizbeach, and they went home. So today, we don't do that. What?
When did we start?
At least 400 years ago, about 400 years, when all the Inyani Kabbalah flourished. The time of the Zoyar. Rav Chaim Vital. During Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Zohar, he revealed all of these things, and these type of inyanim became very popular, and
Sfardim do the beating.
Everyone does it. This is universal. Sfardim, they're more Kabbalah. The question is, what are we? What are the Litvaks? What are the cult Litvaks? Why do they do it? It's not a kasha. Why the Sfardim do it? The Sfardim are in Yerik Kabbalah. Today is right. Today is the Vilna Gaon's Yahrzeit.
So maybe he also did
it. He half assured did it. Everyone does. And this is a universal. It's Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down. Everyone does this. No one doesn't do this. Everyone does this. Question is, why does Ashkenaz do it? How did they were not? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they were also. We don't realize how much we've been affected by the Zohar. Every person, every Litvak is really a mukubal. The takeif of the Zohar and the teachings of Chaim Vital have penetrated every single Orthodox Jew in this world. That's the way it is. So we all do this. So the question, it's not exactly what we're doing today, is not exactly what they did Bizman Shabbes HaMishri Kayim. We take it out of, and we basically, we hold in our hands. We just hold in our hands and we recite prayers. We're mispalel, tfilos. And then at the end, we do what's called, the Gemara talks about it. The Gemara talks that we do chavata. What is chibutz? Machloikis rishonim. Rashi says it means you do na'anuim. According to Rashi, it doesn't appear that Rashi ever banged the Arav on the floor. Rashi holds what it means, chibut. Chibut means to wave. How do you wave it? Do you do the na'anuim in all six directions? It doesn't seem so. It seems you just do, you wave it like you do. Kol mevaseh, mevaseh v'yom. You just wave it. V'zehu. You don't do anything. You don't do anything more than that. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They say the word chavot chibud, it means normally to bang, to hit. So how does this have a zeicha for the Mikdash? Not so clear, but that's what we do. Now here is the key point. Because, so once we're going to do a zeicha le Mikdash, why don't we do it every day? No, it's too much. Atkan, don't overwhelm. Don't overwhelm Klal Yisrael by doing a Zeicha L'Mikdash all 7 days. So which day should we do it? One day. Some of you would argue, let's do it the first day. Right? Isn't that the proper day to do it? No. The reason why it was selected the last day, because that was the most significant day. What's the proof that Yom HaShavi was the most significant day? Because they would do it in the Mikdash even if it was Shabbos. When Shabbos falls out, when Shabbos comes out in the first day Yom Tov, or during Chol HaMoed, they would not do it. Shema Yavirenu. But on the seventh day, it was built into the Minog, or Yesod Nevi'im, that you must do it even if it's Shabbos. I guess there was some system in place. They had an Erev, or they had storage facilities in the Mikdash, where there was not a Shaila of carrying on Shabbos. So since we learned from that Halacha, that they did in the Beis HaMikdash even on Shabbos, it was so powerful, it was so important. Memele, when Chazal came along and wanted to make a takana, wanted to make a zecher lemikdash, they were misaken that it should be done, that it should be done on day number 7. Now, the truth is, we really do reenact this every single day, because we walk around the Bima with the lulav and the esrog. Now, it's not, I don't know, I really have, we have to be, I didn't prepare well enough to figure that, why? What's that all about? It's a zecher for the arava. But in the Mikdash, they walked around with the arava. They didn't walk around with the lulav and the esrog. So what are you going to tell me? that because in our lulav and our aguda, we have a lulav, we have an esrog, and we have hadasim. Oh, and we have an arava. So maybe you're going to argue, when we walk around, we do hakafas around the bima. You know what the ikar hakafa is for? Not for the lulav and the hadasim and the esrog. It's the arava. So you'll say, so take out the arava from the holder. We all know good and well, once you start patching with your dalad minim, you're going to passel them very quickly. Every single day, you're going to go and you're going to take out the arava out of the holder and just walk around the beam with the arava, you're going to ruin it very quickly. So you know what we do? You take the whole thing. Once already taking the arava, you take the whole thing, you take the lulav, the estrog, and you walk around the whole thing. So is that could be a very real possibility. And there's a very big nafkin l'halacha. Okay, so again, we have to preach what we're trying to say over here. Is the reason why on all of the days of Chol HaMoed and Sukkos, we walk around the bima with the dalad minim, it's not because we really have a need to walk around with the dalad, with the lulav, the esrog, and the hadasim. The only thing that counts is the arava. So why not take out the arava? When it's too much of a patchka. You're going to ruin it. It's going to get ruined. So therefore, once you're taking the arava, no, what's so terrible? What's so terrible? Take with you all of the dalad. Isn't that an amazing thing? Because you go look at a person. You look at a person. What's the ikar? People tell when you go by the dalamin. So first you look for the esrog. Then after you get a good esrog, okay, now we got to find a good lulav. Then okay, hadasim. Today became a big deal. Hadasim, this hadasim, that hadasim. But people are not. I never saw anyone get so worked up about hadasim. Yeah, they look and this and this. You don't see people with a magnifying glass with the hadasim. The aravas, no one could kill us. You go out on the street, you find a kid, you find someone, whatever, you find that they come vacuum packed and plastic, wonderful, or you buy from a whatever. And 1, 2, 3, boom, 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 before you blink, you got your arovus and you're home and you're done. No one pays much attention. So now you come to shul, they're walking around the bima, and this guy, and the rabbi, and this one, oh, this beautiful esrog, wow. Who cares about your esrog? We care about your esrog when you do the nanuim. Even then, you really care about the lulav. Think about it. When you do the nanuim, what are you really shaking? There's a whole big chakir. What are you shaking when you do the nanuim? Are you shaking the esrog? Or are you shaking the hadasim? What are you shaking? L'chor, you're only shaking one thing. You're only shaking the lulav. It happens to be when you shake the lulav, so no, the aravas and the hadasim, they also shake a little bit. But the main thing that you're shaking is the lulav. Okay, the esrog, when does the esrog get its day in the sun? It doesn't really. When does the esrog get its day in the sun? I guess you show it off in shul. It says in the Gemara that on Yom HaKippurim, everyone would come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring their own private Sefer Torah. Kedei laharois chizyusoi, what is that? I forgot the exact word. Laharois, to show its beauty to the other people. It says again, Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol would read the Avoid of Yom HaKippurim. So what did you do? Did the Beis HaMikdash have machzorim, chumashim, for people to follow along with the Kohen Gadol when he read in the afternoon the parsha of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim? So it seems not. The Beis HaMikdash was not in the publishing business. They did that in all of, if you go check all of the models, the art scroll books, and all of these very elaborate models, nowhere will you find in these models bookcases of sidurim for the people who come there and chumashim to daven and follow along. Why not? So the answer, well, first of all, that was during this month. Okay, there are many answers to that question, but the Gemara does say that on Yom HaKippurim, bring your own chumash, bring your own Sefer Torah to follow along with the Kohen Gadol when he reads from the Sefer Torah. That's what
how
they did. You bring it before you. You somehow, you. I don't know the answer. But somehow, they had, everyone came, everyone who wanted to come and watch came with their own Sefer Torah. Would you believe that? And the Gemara goes on to say, you know what they did on Yom Kippur? They would brag. Their mamash brag. You think you have a Sefer Torah? Ha ha ha. I have a nicer Sefer Torah. There was a guy there for sure, go back 3,000 years ago, For sure, there was a guy there holding a Sefer Torah, and he says, I have the Sefer Torah, it's miyuchis from the Baal Shem Tov. Meir, you here?
Yeah.
3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. There was, there was, I'm trying to tell, don't ask a cop me with science, with reality. Don't chab me with diktuk. Don't try to chab me with science. 3,000 years ago, I'm telling you, there was a guy there who came with a Sefer Torah, and he says, you know what I got? My Sefer Torah was written by the Baal Shem Tov. Do you know who that person was? Meir.
There were a lot of Baal Shem Tov.
Okay? So you have people, they will come to Mamish brag. Look what I got, look what I got. You know, today I was involved not that long ago in purchasing new Atzei Chaim for a Sefer Torah. So I went to a store, I finally got hold of a catalog. I have it on my phone, the catalog. Wow, what a beautiful catalog.
Atzei
Chaim?
I want to see it.
I have it, okay, I'll show you. A catalog.
Metal or wood?
It starts for about the cheapest prices is $500, the cheapest. The cheapest.
Just for the wood?
Wood, the basic wood, finished off, you know, stained. The basic is about, I think, $495, and it goes up to about $10,000.
Sure, you can
have ivory and silver. Yes, silver and gold, up to $10,000. Gorgeous, outstanding. I mean, unbelievable. Where the people that I was involved, they ended up getting something like for a little bit more than $400. A little bit, like, not the cheapest, just a drop more expensive. A drop more expensive. And even that until it came from Eretz Yisrael, took forever. Okay, so the people would show off the beauty of their Sefer Torah. They would show off. So the Esreg is the only parallel to that concept. The Esreg is the only parallel in Chazar. I make believe I know something, right? I make believe I'm telling you the only... But it's interesting that there's a parallel between people when they came to Yom Kippur, they would display the beauty of their Sefer Torah. People do, that's what we do, exactly the same thing. When you buy an Esrog, the whole Hana is to show it off. It's to show off the Esrog. Is that not nice? Is that not a proper thing? You know something? It's not such a bad idea. It's not such a bad idea. It creates a certain social interaction, social pressure. It creates a dynamic which is not so bad. And the proof that it's not so bad is because the Gemara says exactly this with regard to the Sifrei Torah that people own personally. They brought it on Yom Kippurim to the Beis HaMikdash to show off. Look what I got. This guy, I have from the Baal Shem Tov. This guy says, well, mine comes from the Chofetz Chaim. And this one says, well, mine comes from Ezra HaSofer. Everyone had their own Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah, so the Esrog is just a show off. The Lulav gets its day in the sun when you shake it. The Hadassim is really the Yofi. It's the beauty of the Lulav. We only have three Hadassim. But some people, I'm seeing it more and more. People are very, very jealous of the Hasidim. They also want to have 25, 30 Hadassim to surround the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He had, there's some picture of him, he had these massive, massive numbers of Hadassim. But you know what's the most important thing? When you do the Hakafis, when you do the Hashanis, the Arava, the Lulav and the Esrog and the Hadassim don't count. They're just there as baggage. Because it's inconvenient to take out the Arava, so we walk around, they also get a free ride. The Lulav, the Hadassim, and the Esra get a free, that's where it comes, a Cholamoy trip. What is it called, a Cholamoy trip? You have to take the children, you want to take the children, so the parents also go on the rides. So it's just a Nachschlepper. The Lulav, the Esreg, and the Hadassim are Nachschleppers to the Aravas, because the only thing you're doing L'zeich L'mikdash when you're going around the Bima is the Arava. Now, this is a bit problematic.
Rabbi, yeah. This way we go not clockwise, in the other direction. The Arava should be closer to the Bima.
No, so once already you're putting in yeskis that it is closer. It's on the left side. Oh, I mean, you're holding it in your right hand. You're holding it in your right hand. You just switch hands. Okay, you're making a good point, but once already you're taking all of the dalid minim together, you have to hold it lahalacha. We're taking in our hands, the bottom line is, we're taking all of the dalid minim. So if you're taking all the dalid minim, you have to hold in your hand the dalid minim the way you're supposed to hold it. You hold in the hand the lulav with the esrog, the lulav with the hadas and the aravos. We're not taking, if we want to do it the right way, we would have to take it out. Chazal said, no, you don't do that. You don't take it out, there's no mikar to walk around the bima with aravos. Let's say you have a person that does not have a lulav, but he has aravos. Should he walk around the bima? You never heard such a halacha. Never heard such a thing. There's a machlekes. There's machlekes. A person does not have dalad minim, period. A person does not have a dalad, should he walk around the bima? So it's a machlekes. Generally, most people today do not. They do not. If you don't have a dalad minim, you do not walk around the bima. But some hold you do. Let's say a person only has a ravus. You ever hear anywhere? It's like, never. Because we don't do it. We only walk around the bima with all four dalad minim. What's really the zecha? What are you doing? Where was there a zecha to walk around the bima with dalad minim? There is no such thing. There's no such thing anywhere. B'chol Torah Kula. The only thing they walked around the mizbeach was with the arava. Oh, so what appears to be the answer? It's, you're right, it's the arava that is embedded in the dalad minim. That's what we're walking around with. Oh, but then just take out the arava. No, Chazal didn't want to go so far to matriach the oilam to take out the arava, just take an arava. But here comes a very, very interesting nafkamina, which really puts a dart in this whole thing. And that is, what happens on Hoshana Rabbah, when now the takana is, you're supposed to hold in your hand only the arava, tale emunim, and clap with the arava on the ground, hold it in your hands, and say the bakoshes, and then you bang it on the ground, or the Mishnah Berurah really says you should first shake it. Before you bound it on the ground, you should first shake it. It could be that we have a kayim this, when we say the tefillos, when you come to tale munim, when you come to the tefillos, it could be you shake it a little bit, you wave it, and that's the fulfillment of the nanuim, and then when you finish, you bang it five times. So here's the question. Let's say a person, this happened to me more than once, where I didn't have a Hashanas. How could it happen? I don't have a Hashanas. Lazy. I used to be in the Young Israel, they would sell Hashanas and you come to Shul in the morning. Well, guess what? You go in the morning today in a lot of places, it's too late, they don't sell. Sold out.
You have to order in advance.
Advanced. That's not the way it was when I was a kid. No. When I was a kid, no one even bought.
Yes,
you can still get.
The olden days,
it used to be no one would sell. No one would sell Hashanas and Cholamot. You wouldn't see Hashanas anywhere. When did you buy Hashanas? When you came to Shul Hashanah Rabba in the morning, the Shamas had Hashanas. You pay him whatever you paid, and you'd buy the Hashanas. That was the only time you buy. It was part of the ritual. Like, you talk like beer chametz. When do you burn the chametz? Erev Pesach. When do you buy the Hashanis? When you come to shul early in the morning. Today we're living in another world, a different world. Today, from the second Chol HaMoed, it starts already all over the place. Hashanis. Okay, Hashanis. And Hashanis, they sell you Hashanis. Ad kidei kach, that in many shuls, Erev, on Hashanah Rabbah, you can't get Hashanas. They're gone. There are no Hashanas to be found. In Chaim Berlin, it happened to me twice. There are no Hashanas. No Hashanas to be found. Zero. The whole place, everyone has their own Hashanas. You want to go buy it? No, too late. I went to Landau's. I went from Chaim Berlin to Landau's. There was outside Landau's, they were still selling Hashanas. I ran back. Okay? Ran back to get Hashanas. Like really? They don't sell Hashanas early in the morning before davening? The world has come to such a point? Yeah, that's what has happened today. To not every shul, not everywhere, but also the later minyanim. If you don't go daven 6 o'clock, 6:30, and you go to a late minyan, 8 o'clock, forget it. You're done. You're not going to find the shanis. So here's the shaila. This is a real shaila. You know what? I'll be a smart aleck. After I finish halal, I'll just pluck out the shanis from my lulav, for my lulav, and I'll use it. Oh, you have to have five? I'm not a Kabbalist. One, really, you only need one. Me'ikar ha'din, you only need one. The mekayim, the minug, yisoy, nevim, the poskim say one stick with one leaf. Can you imagine? That's puzzle for your dalad minim. But if you have one bad with one ole, good enough. You might say that the minug nevim to wave a stick that has one leaf on it and to bang it. You might say not for lulafa, for the dalad minim. No. Then you have to have roiv, and you have to have the top must be intact. That's a whole different story when it comes to the Dalaminim. But let's say you have very good Aravas, and the Aravas have survived all the way to Hashanah Rabbah, and you don't have Hashanahs. Are you allowed to take out of your Luluf the Arava and use it for Hashanahs? Are you allowed to do that? So there's a lot of rabbinic literature on this dilemma. And the consensus is, B'di'eved Yoytzeh. You mekayim the mitzvah, but you've done the wrong thing. You did a terrible, terrible, terrible avla, because you were moired the aravos from a higher kedusha to a lower kedusha. For example, ritzuos. Are you allowed to take the ritzuos of your tefillin shel roish and use it for shel yad? Osur, mamish osur. Are you allowed at the bottom also? You can't take the bottom, you have to convert it from four compartments, whatever. But basically, anything that is miyuchad for the tefillah shel roish cannot be used for the tefillah shel yad. You're not even allowed to take the ritzua and turn it upside down. The part of the ritzua that was used to make the kesher, let's say it's broken over there, it's not, the quality is not so good over there. So you want to go take the part of the ritzu that you wrap around your fingers, and you want to turn it around and use that to make the kesher. Also, because the portion of the ritzu that is higher up by your arm has more kedusha than the portion that wrapped that goes on your finger. You're
why
not...
Why can't you take the finger to make it a bigger kedusha?
No, because you could really, but you're also taking what's the part that was once the kesher, and you're lowering it.
So that you have to cut it off and put it away?
Okay, you're real loud then. So cut off that portion.
No, but you're doing it, you're lowering.
You're lowering. Let's say it's not long enough. Okay, let's make arguments.
So even that you wound it up your arm, the higher up it is,
exactly.
The
right. So
when you turn it around.
Right. So this is the big, big debate in the poskim. Now that halacha that it's said by Tefillin and said by many different areas, is only said by Tashmishe Kedusha. Tefillin of a higher level. Tzitzis is Tashmishe Mitzvah. Okay? Like Osha with the Atara. Why do you have an Atara? To show off, right? But why do you have an Atara? Because the tzitzis that was Zoicha to be in front, you don't want to go, you're now going to lower their Kedusha, put them in the back. Is that true? Is it not true? Machloikis Chabad doesn't know from this. Doesn't make a difference. Okay, this is a dilemma. This is one of the reasons why you have an atara, in order to make sure that the tzitzis that are in the front stay in the front. Keresh shezoch aliyos b'mizrach, it stays in the mizrach. You don't reverse the kedusha. So here's the very big dilemma: the arava that is in your dalad minim. This was a mitzvah de'oraisa. It was miyuchid for a mitzvah de'oraisa. Of dalad minim, ulekachtem luchem biyamarishin priyetsa the kapoyis tzman v'anaf etzav v'zvi arve nochal a doraisa. You want to take the doraisa and now use it to be mekayim a yisoid neviim or a minag neviim? How dare you? How can you do a choroda from a kedusha chamura to a kedusha kala? So therefore, it's not the proper thing to do l'choladeus. It's not the proper thing. If you do it, if you're desperate, maybe you have no choice, okay? There are a lot of things in life you have no choice. You have to cut corners. So therefore, now let's go back. Why do we walk around the Bima on the 7 days of Sukkot? Where does this come from? It's really, really a tough question. It's very bizarre. You're telling me we're doing this because Zecher Lemigdash, I'm sorry, the Beis Hamigdash, nowhere does it say they walked around the Mizbeach with the Dalad Minim. It doesn't say that. They walked around the Mizbech with the Arava. So why do we do it? So you say walking around. They walked around, so we walk around. What's the difference? What does it matter what you're holding in your hand? You hold something in your hand. They walked around with the Hashana, so we'll walk around with your Ava. Okay, if you're satisfied with that, okay? Or a much more satisfying pshat is that when you do walk around the Bima, you're putting the limelight on the Arava. You're not putting the limelight on the... Why then don't you just take the Arava, the Zehu? Because it's not practical. Chazal were very pragmatic in their approach to ritual. And they did not demand for you every single day to have a different Arava. Can you imagine you go out of business? If you have to pay, how much does a Shana's cost now? How much does a Shana's going for now?
$5.
That's it? $5. $5? I paid $5 for the two Aravas for Sukkot. What happened? Was it deflation? Biden's economy? Don't believe it. whatever it is, but you're going around. So. But if you learn that, no, when you're doing the hakafos during the 7 days, you're giving the limelight to the arava. Wait a minute. How can you do that? Isn't that equivalent to the prohibition? I can say prohibition to the improper behavior of removing your aravas on a Shana Rabbah from your holder and using it now for Chibur Arava. Isn't that improper? You should not do that because it's a Harodim Mikadusha. So how could it then be that when you walk around the Bima with the Arava, you're being Mizalzel? If you're walking around the Bima holding your Dalad Minim and the highlight, the focus is the Arava, because that's the only thing that didn't the Beis HaMikdash, so you're now basically degrading. This is a degradation to the sanctity of the Arava. The Arava is a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Oh, so you take a pasul Arava.
What?
If you have
a pasul Arava, you can't use, you have to use a kosher, the laws.
The Arava and the rule of
that, we're not up to taking pasul. Let's talk about the regular case. So this is my, I don't have an answer. This is just to be mefalpal with you, what is going on during the 7 days of Pesach? We do hakafis with dalad minim. What are you doing?
Sukkot.
Only one that's listening, exactly. What are you doing on Sukkot? What are you walking around the beam? Oh, in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't walk around with the lulav and esrog. They walked around with the arava. So what are you going to answer? When we walk around, we're highlighting the arava. And the Chazal did not want to be matriachas to go and take another Arava or to remove it. Oh, if that's taka the case, then we have a problem, because we have a halacha that on Hashanah Rabbah, if you don't have Aravos, it's not proper to take the Arava out of the holder and do chibot, because it's a chayroda from a higher level. So if that's the case, why then is it not called a zilzul in a hayroda of kedusha during the 7 days of Sukkot? That is the dilemma to which I do not have an answer, but certainly the brilliant minds of the people sitting here and out there on these square boxes, they're not really square, they're rectangular boxes in front of me, will have a solution, a lomdusha mahalach to answer this contradiction. All right. What else is it? Let's talk very briefly about eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, this is the big controversy. What do we do? What do we do? I'm not going to take a poll here. What people do? Some people do. Some do not. But there, even those who do, there are many minhagim as to what they do. There are some people that eat both at night and by day. There are some people who only eat at night and do not eat by day. There are those who only eat by day and do not eat at night. And there are those who do, only thing they do is they make kiddush by day, and then they immediately go back into the house. Now, what is this? Now, what about sleeping? Nobody. There is no one that is allowed to sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres.
The Gra, I believe, no?
The Gra, no. Probably the Gra didn't even eat altogether in the sukkah at all. I don't know. But
everybody slept in the sukkah.
But not on Shmini Atzeres.
On Shmini Atzeres, he slept in the
sukkah. On Shmini Atzeres at night, he slept in the
sukkah? Yes.
You certain about that?
I think so, yeah.
I'm almost 95% sure.
Okay. Okay, that's a tremendous, because everything I've been reading and preparing is...
Does says goodbye to the sukkah.
The yitzia min hasukkah. That's a kabbalistic minute. But okay, I don't know. I was preparing to. I did not come across that. I came across all different minhagim, and it says there. But basically, in fact, many hold it's mamish bal toisef. I don't know, but the Gemara says fakaret. So I guess I don't know. The Gemara disagrees. But according to many poskim, sleeping in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres could mamish be a violation of bal toisef. Now what's the law? The problem over here. The problem over here is that we all understand that it's we observe sfeika d'yoma. So Sveik of the Yom would tell us that we have to go into the Sukkah. But when you get to day 8, you have no choice but to make a Shechiyonu, which means now it's Shmini Atzeres. If it's Shmini Atzeres, it's not Sukkah, it's Manav Shach, it's tied to the Sasrei. If you're making a Shechiyonu, v'kimonu v'yonu l'zman hazeh, and you're saying the Nusach of Kiddush, you're saying in Kiddush, b'yoyim Shmini Chag v'atzeres hazeh, and you're in the Sukkah, that's Mamish Tardei de Sasrei. So that's why there are many people who will not eat in the Sukkah at night. Because since the meal begins with Kiddush, and in the Kiddush this is the minute which is very not common. Most people, you don't hear people do this, that people do this where they only eat in the Sukkah by day and they don't eat at night. Because you don't hear that, it's not common among us. But the truth is, that's the one that makes the most sense. Because if you're making Kiddush and you're declaring with the Shema Malchus, B'yom Shmini Chag V'Atzeres HaZeh, in the Sukkah, you're making that bracha in the Sukkah, it's mamish tardei de sasrei. The only reason why you're allowed to go into the sukkah is because it's anyway enjoyable to go into the sukkah. It's anyway a beautiful day. You go out to the patio, go out to the back, have a barbecue. So it doesn't openly look like you're being mekayim, that you are in violation. You're in violation of bal toisef because people like to go out and eat in the sukkah. So it's not nikur lehedya, but ad kidei kach, to rub it in and to say that today is Shmini Chag V'Atzeres HaZeh when you're in the sukkah, that some place can feel is a bit too much. It's a bit too much to go so far. Others say no, once already people enjoy going into the sukkah. They enjoy the dinner steak of the Yom, and it's pleasurable. So it's not necessarily nikur lehedya that you're coming to violate the halacha. So it's not so terrible to do this. Now here's a very important point why that's mutter. This is critical. And what you're also doing something. This is a very critical point. You're also doing something to show that I'm not sitting in the sukkah because l'shein mitzvah sukkah. And what is that? You're not making a bracha l'shev basukkah. And that says it all. If you really wanted to sit in the sukkah and mekayim the mitzvah derais of sukkah midin seikah d'yoma, then you would say the bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'mitzvanu l'shev basukkah, just as you said this bracha the last 7 days. The fact that you're not saying asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah l'shev basukkah, that is the hecker. The absence of the bracha is the hecker. That's a chiddush. To say when something is missing is a hecker. Like David HaMelech, he didn't show up to the Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Shaul was disturbed beyond belief. Where is David? First day he was able to control himself. The second day he couldn't control himself anymore. Where is he? The absence of something is the ultimate hecker, that you're not sitting in the sukkah L'shem Sukkah. Now, here comes the important point. Therefore, what about if you want to take a drink of water, a drink of Coca-Cola in the Sukkah? Many places can say, on Shmini Atzeres, do not. Do not. Anything that does not require a bracha, L'shev Basukkah, there's no heker. And if there's no heker, You're entering into the borderline of being oyver and bal toisef. During the first 7 days of Sukkot, if you wanted to drink a cup of Coca-Cola and you were machmir on yourself, even though me'iker hadin, you don't need to. You can drink it in the home. You could drink a shahakol in the house. But you're machmir and you go into the Sukkot. Did you make a leishay basukkah when you went into the Sukkot to drink a can of Coca-Cola? No. Shmini Atzeres, I want to drink Coca-Cola. And what am I doing? I'm picking myself up. I'm leaving the house. I'm going into the sukkah to drink Coca-Cola. What? Since when do you go to the patio, to your hut, to enjoy a drink? You don't do that. You sit in there, you say, you know, there's no ambiance when it comes to drinking a glass of juice or a soft drink. You don't do that. So you're going into the sukkah to drink a glass of Coca-Cola? Oh, I'm going to make a hecker that I'm not doing in L'shem sukkah. You know what the hecker is? I'm not going to make a L'shem sukkah. Excuse me, during sukkahs, you didn't make a L'shem sukkah then either for doing this. So it turns out that there's no hecker. You're doing a maisa of being oikir yourself from the house to the sukkah. So the very least, you should do a hecker to show that you're not doing it by not making a L'shem sukkah. But this, you're not, anyway, during sukkahs, you did not make a L'shem sukkah with such a type of achila. So there is no hecker. If there's no hecker, what are you doing? You don't ordinarily do this. Oh, you want to sit in the sukkah on day 8? When the Torah only told you 7, you want to extend? Oh, L'shem sukkah. Yeah, this is Baal Tosef. Therefore, sleeping is exactly in this category. There is no halach in Shulchan Aruch. You make a L'shem sukkah when you sleep in the sukkah. It does not exist. There's no bracha. When a person goes to sleep in the sukkah, you don't make a L'shem sukkah. And people do not sleep outdoors in the patio. They don't do that. So why are you sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? You want to be machmir, Sveika Dioma? But you know, you're giving a tzura to an observer that today is Sukkot. Baal Tosef. No, I'm doing a hecker. What's the hecker? I'm not making a L'shem HaSukkah. What are you talking about? You didn't make a L'shem HaSukkah when you slept in the Sukkah the first 7 days. So by not making a L'shem HaSukkah when you go into the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, it's no different. So whatever you did on Sukkot, you're doing now on Shmini Atzeres. This is Baal Tosef. So therefore, you tell me the Gra disagrees with this. Kol HaKavod. But most poskim that I've seen here in this fantastic Sefer Avnei Shoya, maybe I didn't read carefully with the Gra, says that sleeping in the sukkah is categorically off limits.
Yeah. It says clearly,
okay.
It's easy. We're the Babbages. We don't have the problem.
I stand corrected. I stand. He says, "Harbei poys, you have to sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres."
He says,
so this is a svaradatu. So this is the okay. So this is a tam, a lumdis of why they make them. Now I want to even go further to say a very, very big chiddush. Meir told me this, and I want to say this is probably too much. Mafriz al-Hamida, then we have to stop. I want to just finish with the Dvar Gada before we wind down. To be Mafriz al-Hamida to say a Chiddush, like this. Okay, now, Lubavitch, I don't know if you were aware, Lubavitch, they don't sleep in the Sukkah even. Not that they don't. They're not Makbid on this. It's not a big thing.
They don't sleep.
It's Crown Heights.
They don't. Crown Heights. Dangerous territory. But Chabad, and I'm assuming there are others, they don't hold. I don't know the exact terminology. Be careful. Sleeping in the sukkah throughout sukkah is not a big deal. And what's the lomdus? A very simple lomdus. Teshvu ke'ein tiduru. There is no inyan for a woman, bechlal. I mean, women go to the sukkah, but the requirement for them going to the sukkah is very, very light.
Right.
Why is it very light? Kol kivuda bas melech penima. It's a mitzvah aseh shehazman gromo. They're not even allowed to. They're going to be I know I have a cousin. She told me that her husband doesn't let her come into the sukkah. Also, it's off limits to her. Wow.
But it's still a paradox. Lubavitch will eat in the rain, but not sleep.
Not sleep in the sukkah. You're right. It's very.
But the rain doesn't go through because that's why they use all these evergreens. If you go into a sukkah that has it, it doesn't. By the way, there's a minhag that.
I want to say your chiddush. I want to say a very big chiddush. This is a little bit mafriz alamim. It's too much to say, but I want to say anyway. And that is Chabad. Women bechlal are not mechuyev in sukkah. Off the bat, it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman groma. Now shoif is also mitzvah saseh shehazman groma, but noshim were mekabel upon themselves very, very strongly to observe the mitzvah of tkiyah shoifer. So what's the pshat? Why is it when it comes to the mitzvah of shofar, the pot on the gamri?
Chanukah.
That's Ishu Beisai. That's Ner Ishu Beisai. That's different.
No, but they're strongly encouraged girls and women to light their own.
Not necessarily. Ner Ishu Beisa, it's the wife. Okay, that's a different. Chanukah is a whole different world.
Okay.
But generally, there are mitzvahs which are midrabba, which nashim are potem midraisa, and for whatever the reason is, there's a Kabbalah, it's sacred. Chas v'shalom for a woman not to hear shofar. Sukkah, it's exactly the same. There's no drushes, tezvav, there's not garnished. It's a pure mitzvah as mangrum nashim apotem. And you don't see in klaus or pukhazi ma amadvar, you don't see noshim being makbid on this. Why? So there are different reasons. I forgot, someone told me a very good reason, I don't remember this moment. But one of the reasons is, and it's not, I don't think it's the ikar reason, is because kol kvuda bas melech penima. A woman, the tznius, the halachic tznius of a woman is the bias. Even though women today run the world, okay, women today, they run the world. Yet in halacha, it's a halachic principle. The makom isn't the bias. The makom is not tzei. Tzei midiras keva v'koneis l'diras arai. Noshim are not makbid to do kiddush levana. Why not? And taka, some hold that kiddush levana is not zman grama. Some hold that it's a scientific reality. Cycle. It's not necessarily. The kiddush levana is not muchach that it's zman grama. What I have to fataych what the mitzvah is. So how come noshim don't makbid? Say sakana. It's sakana because they go out at night and you know it's dark and who knows they are dangerous people outside. Maybe or is it because no? There's a halachic principle which carries an enormous amount of weight. There's no such thing by an isha in halacha tzei. Kol ma sheyom lucha balbayis asay chutz mitzei. There's no such thing as tzei by an isha. Okay, so once they're potter, so now here's the thing: a man, when he goes to sleep, usually in his bias is he's with his isha, with his wife, a shmira. Okay, a woman is a shmira, Pas besale, whatever you want to say. A woman, this is the derech. The kachi darko shalaylam. Okay, you ever go to a levaya when they say that they were together every single day of their life. Never did the husband go away on business and leave his wife alone for a month, for a year. Never this. I went to a levaya not so long ago. They actually said that. It wasn't kemat a day the whole life they weren't together. Kachi darko shalaylam. So if the woman's not going into the sukkah to go to sleep in the sukkah, it's not teshu came to do. So noshim apata. So anoshim. There's no din. It's not shaykh. Okay, this I did not know. This Meir Apple of 12 minutes halach. He says that is why Lubavitch. That is why Lubavitch does not sleep in the sukkah. They hold that there's no din. There's no chalois din of teshu ke'e. The din of sukkah is. But sukkah is teshvu shivasmim. Teshvu came to do. It's not shaykh. It's not shaykh. The din of shayna b'sukkah with sukkah because the mitzvah doesn't exist. Noshma potter. Not only are potter discouraged. And a melah for an ish can't be. So now, here's the point I want to make. The melah, yet by the litrax, called the Litvax, Shoko, you know, they sleep in the sukkah. But the Lubavitch is a very good complaint, a very good taina, a very good complaint against them. So I want to tell you, Chidush Mafriz Alamida, the only reason why they sleep in the sukkah, they sleep in the sukkah the 7 days, is so that on Shmini Atzeres. Is it on Shmini Atzeres? How did this go? I might have wanted to say. On Shmini Atzeres, they don't sleep in the sukkah. So what was the question? The question is they should sleep in the sukkah. If they sleep in the let's go according to the Gra. So according to the Gra, Let's okay. Let me. I didn't prepare correctly, but let's work with the Gra now. A Baruch is telling me the Mishnah Berurah brings out that the Gra says that you do sleep in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres. But what about our complaint? We had a very good time. How could you sleep in the sukkah? It's you don't make a bracha leishev basukkah. If you don't make leishev basukkah on sleeping, so it's bal toisif. No, it's not bal toisif, because people sleep in the sukkah all 7 days. And when they sleep in the sukkah all 7 days, you can't say they mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, because there is no kima mitzvah of sukkah. There is and there is not. It's a mixed bag. Obviously, the Gra holds sleeping in the sukkah is begeder teishu came to do it to a degree. But because it's not 100%, a mitzvah of teishu came to do because their wife is not there. So when you look at it from that perspective, when they slept in the sukkah for the first 7 days, they were sleeping because they enjoyed it. You get a night away from your wife, a night out of the house. You want to sleep outside, you do something adventurous. You go camping. You want to go outdoors. So now when you're sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you're sleeping there because you enjoy it. It's not Baal Toysef. It only can be Baal Toysef. It's something that you would never in your wildest dreams would ever do. But unless it was a mitzvah. But you did it for 7 days. For 7 days you slept in the sukkah. Can you tell me with absolute certainty that when you slept in the sukkah for the 7 days, you were mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa basukos teishu shivas yamin? You know, you can argue that you were not mekayim the mitzvah because the tanai in the mitzvah is teishu came to do, and there was no teishu came to do, so you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So why do you do it? I like to do it. It's fun. It's fun. So now on Shmini Atzeres, I also want to sleep in the sukkah because that's a sukkah. Oh, but it's Baal Toysef. It's not Baal Toysef because I do this anyway. I anyway sleep in the sukkah. How do I know? Because the first 7 days, I anyway sleep in the sukkah. Our time, I want to tell you a Dvar God, a very short Dvar God to conclude for Hashanah Rabbah. And that is, this is what I told you last year, but I wonder about just to focus on one new prat, one small prat. And that is throughout the year, there are 11 days of Chol HaMoed. On Pesach, how many Chol HaMoed are there on Pesach? There are 5 days. It's a 7-day holiday, Pesach. The first day is holy, and the last day is holy. So that's 7 minus 2, 5. 5 days in the middle are Chol HaMoed.
Okay.
Sukkos. How many days of Sukkos? There are 7 days of Sukkos. But Sukkos Teishvu Shivas Yamim. The first day is a Yom Tov. But the remaining 6 are Chol.
Okay.
So that's 6 plus 5.
Right.
Equals 11. Like, how many fingers do people have? Most people that I know have 11 fingers.
Yeah. So
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
No.
6 plus
no.
5 is...
Do it the other way around.
No. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
6 plus 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 plus 5 is 11.
Right.
Okay, so there are 6 days Chol HaMoed, 6 days Chol HaMoed, Sukkos, 5 days Chol HaMoed, Pesach, a total of 11 days. Now, by the way, those 11 days correspond to the 11 days that the solar calendar is larger than the lunar calendar. The lunar is 354. The solar is 365. There are 11 days discrepancy. Those 11, so which are those 11 days? Define for me the 11 days. The 11 days of Chol HaMoed. Those days are nishtahi nishtaher. Because those are the days because of the complaint, Hashem was going is the earth. Those 11 days are, take you back to Maaseh Bereishis. That's one avart which needs to be developed more. Let's put that aside. 11 days. 11 days broken up into two parts, 5 and 6. Show me a parallel in the Torah where you have 11 and 5, 11 and 5, total of 11, broken down into two parts. You have that by the Michseh of the Oyel Moed. The Oyel Moed are three parts. It had the bottom portion that was 5 and 5. There were 10 units, 10 Yirios, 5 and 5. And then there was, that was called the Michseh on the Mishkan. And then there was the third layer. The third layer was the oil, the Oyrois Elim Me'odamim and the Artachash. And then there was the middle layer. The middle area in the Torah is called the Mikseh for the Ohel. The Mikseh of the Ohel Moed. And how many layers were there? There were 11 sections broken up into two parts, 5 and 6. So the Mikseh of the Ohel Moed corresponds to the Chol HaMoed, 5 and 6. 5 correspond to Chol HaMoed Pesach, 6 Chol HaMoed Sukkos. The 5 of Chol HaMoed Pesach covered which portion of the Mishkan? The Kodesh HaKadosh. Why? Why does the 5 sections cover the Kodesh HaKadosh? Because what was the tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Kabbalah Satayr? Biyotziach Esam Mitzrayim Tavdunes Lukim Alohor Hazeh. Torah. So the 5 sections that cover the oil, that cover the Kodesh HaKadoshim, covered the portion, the east portion, which covered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we had the Aron, was Chol HaMoed Pesach. Because the Tavkid of Pesach is Kabbalah Satayr. What about the 6 sections that covered the other portion of the Mishkan? What did it cover? The Menorah, the Mizbeach, and the Shulchan. The Menorah created a cloud of smoke. The Mizbeach created the Anan of Ketores. The Menorah created light, or, and the Shulchan is Lechem. This corresponds to Sukkos. What is Sukkos? The Yitziah, the Sukkos says, Lechteich Acharai Bamidbar B'Eretz Lo Zerua. Hashem sustained us with man, with mayim, with everything. Hashem gave us, He sustained us, it's the Lechem. And how did He guide us? The Amud Anan and the Amud Esh. The Mizbeach Hazav is the Amud Anan, and the Menorah is the Amud Esh, and the Shulchan is the sustaining. Lechteich Acharai Bamidbar. So the second portion of the Oyer of the Oyeris Izim, that was a mikseh for the Ohel Moed, corresponds to the Chol HaMoed. These sections come together. Now when they come together, if we're saying that the 6 corresponds to Sukkos, what's the last section? The last section of the 6. That's Hoshana Rabbah. And what does Rashi say about that last section? That last section was draped over the entrance into the Heichal. And Rashi, why was it draped? A portion was draped. It was like the appearance of a kala, a bride, who has a hinuma, has a veil that comes over her face. So this, when you come and you look at, you're facing the Mishkan, what do you see? You see that last half of that last Yiriya is draped over the entrance, giving the Mishkan the tsura of a kala. That's number 6. That's Hoshana Rabbah. That's the 11th day of Chol HaMoed, the Shpitz. What do we do in Chol HaMoed? We go around the Mizbeach multiple times. What do we say to the Mizbeach? Yoifi l'cha Mizbeach. You are beautiful. Beauty in Chazal is reserved for a kala. Kala noe v'chasuda. The yoifi, the mahus of yoifi is a kala. On Hoshana Rabbah, it's about beautification. We beautify, we walk around the bima, nochamol, nochamol, nochamol. Yoifi l'cha Mizbeach. What does that mean? It means sacrifice. Mesiras nefesh. The beauty of Klal Yisrael is found in their willingness to give up, to be moiser nefesh for Hashem, to everything which represents korbanos, sacrifice, coming close to Hashem, to bring a nachas ruach to Hashem. Reach nichoyach, vayorach Hashem es reach nichoyach. How do you have a reach nichoyach? You slaughter an animal. And that animal that's being slaughtered really represents a person who really, really should slaughter himself. Nachas ruach, yoifi, another way of yoifi comes through mesiras nefesh, Hoshana Rabbah is all about Kol Mevaser, Mevaser Ve'Omer. It's like, you know, say Arbor Biyom Kodem Ha'Yetzira, Machlizim and Hashemayim Bas Plani L'Ploini. It tells you about the Zivugim, Kol Mevaser, Mevaser Ve'Omer. There's a lot of Yoifi. The day of Hoshana Rabbah is a day of Yoifi, of beauty. It's the 11th day of Chol Hamoed. There are two Chol Hamoeds, 5 and 6. It's the climax. It's not just 5 and 6. They're two different Chol Hamoeds. Two different Chol Hamoeds, but they come together. They represent the Michse Oihel Moed, the 5 and the 6. It fits with the 5 covering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron, and the 6 covering the cloud of smoke and the pillar of light and the sustenance that captures the whole essence of Sukkot. Hashem left there for 40 years. Hashem took care of us. He sheltered us. He guided us. And the booths, which include, just represents all the other things. And the Spitz is the Yoifi, the beauty of Yadus. Once recently, or heard recently, or someone speaking, they spoke about whole Drasha, the Yoifi of Yadus, the beauty of Yadus, how Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu, Umanoim Garoleinu, Mayofa Yirushaseinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the Torah, Asher Bochar Bonu Mikolo Amin, V'nosan Lanu Es Torosai. And this is the climax. When we come to the Yoifi of Hoshana Rabbah, it naturally leads into Simchas Torah, because the Yoifi of Mesiras Nefesh is what enhances the Yoifi. It's really, really all one and the same. Enhances the Yoifi of the acknowledgement of the Yoifi of the Derech HaTorah, of the Mitzvahs, learning Torah, and especially for this Chavura, this Choshev Chavura, this is your Yom Tov. You come to Simchas Torah, there's no one that deserves the Simchas Torah like the people who come to the Shir. To come listen to me, my nonsense, to tolerate me, there's no one that deserves us the brachos, the infinite blessings that come down from Shemaim should go your way, should come to you, and Ashrecha, Ashreinu, and may you all have a beautiful, joyous Yom Tov, and be mekabel the bracha that Hashem will bestow upon you. A good kvittel, a good Shabbos Chol Hamoed, a good Hoshana Rabbah, a good kvittel, a good Shmini Atzeres, a good Simchas Torah, and in the year Tzah Hashem we will resume at 9:30. New Year's resolutions. New Year resolutions is to come on time. 9:30, right there? Wednesday, next day. Wednesday, not Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday, 9:30, New Year resolutions.
Tuesday night, a kafe shniyas by the sukkah of Rabbi Chaim.
Okay, he's laughing at Michal. Here's Sasha. You'll see. Okay. Zayg is Rabbi Chaim.
Everyone's going to be there at 9:30 except you.
What?
Everyone's going to be 9:30 except you.
Okay, have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov. Zayg is on.
Okay. I sent out an email today that I'm not sending out. I sent out an email to say I'm not sending out an email.
Good morning. Shabbos.
About voting?
Shabbos. You sent out an email that you're not sending out.
Yeah, I said.
Alumnus.
Because I don't have enough, so it'll wait till next week. But I also sent out a note. If anybody wants a lawn sign, I have some more.
What sign?
What's his name? The dentist. What's his name again?
Dove. Dr. Dove Stern.
Yeah.
He's an Eretz Yisrael.
Mark's going to ask Dove.